He's our pal, our buddy, the fantasy guru, Andy McNamara. Andy, good morning. What's happening?
Will, feeling good, my man. How are you?
We're good, buddy. We are. We're doing real good. And well, I guess I'm doing okay. I thought the reign of the Patriots atop the AFC East was done, but apparently they're not ready to quit yet. And I think a lot of people, Andy, were waiting on where Cam Newton would end up. I think at this point, it was almost like you were kind of ready for him to just wait for an injury to sign somewhere in September. But he obviously likes the opportunity presented. Bill Belichick, it's clear, has done his homework. He called the likes of Ron Rivera. He has called different people inside the Panther organization, from Norv Turner to some of his teammates. And it sounds like he's got the Belichick rubber stamp approval. So that means good things. And if he can stay healthy, I would suggest that Cam Newton changes the Patriots' outlook. What was your reaction to not only him signing, but ultimately him going to New England?
Well, first of all, I heard the news, and one of the first things that popped to mind outside of the, I don't know if shock's the right word, but hey, this is some noteworthy news, is I'm like, oh no, Will is a Jets fan. And that just like for Bills fans, it just sucks the hope, just a deflating balloon out of the AFC East, who thought maybe the Patriots' time was done. And this is a case, Will, where, let's put it plain and simple. They said Cam Newton's coming in to, quote, compete for the starting quarterback job. If Cam Newton does not beat out Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, he should retire immediately, because he is done. It is over. There is no reason why Cam Newton should not run away with this starting job without even picking up a playbook, just on talent alone. So it's a case where I think it makes the division a lot more interesting for the Buffalo Bills, who were receiving a whole lot of attention as, look, you got to win this thing and you should do it going away. I think it might actually benefit Buffalo, because it takes a lot of the pressure off of them. The spotlight is back on New England, and really wondering, okay, what Cam Newton are we getting? Because I hear a whole lot of, well, 2015 MVP, you know, 4,000 yards in his rookie year. Okay, but what are we getting with a 31-year-old Cam Newton who has not been healthy since the midway point of the 2018 season? That's the big question.
But he is only 31. He has been away from the game now for almost a full season, played the first two games in 2019 and then was done. What does that lead you to believe about his health? Can he stay healthy? You know, this is not a 36-year-old we're talking about. Yes, it might not have, you know, the same wear and tear as somebody who's been healthy the whole time at 31. But, you know, for a lot of people, 31 is in the prime of your career, especially a quarterback. What do you make of Cam Newton's ability, or how can he stay on the field in 2020?
Right. And I think that's a great point you bring up, because this isn't someone, you know, 38 coming off of a torn or rotator cuff, something, and coming back. Cam Newton, though, has taken the punishment physically from his running style of maybe a guy 5 or 6 years older. So this time off for sure. Remember, oh, Will, it was so sad. The end of the 2018 season, where it was almost like he was shot putting the ball, couldn't get anything behind his throws in the shoulder. Yep. So the shoulder's fixed. Then he had the ankle. So what I'm feeling now, the difference is compared to, let's say, a pure mobile quarterback, is that Cam Newton can throw the ball. Now, part of it, and if we look at it from a fantasy relevant standpoint, part of his fantasy appeal all those years, of course, was that he can run a lot too, and he can score touchdowns that way. I see, if the Patriots want to do, I guess, really maximize what you can get out of Cam Newton, you have to limit his exposure to punishment. You just have to. You cannot have Cam Newton running around for over 750 yards like he did in 2017. Now, you're going to get the touchdowns, but you're going to get him injured. And if you put him out there like he was 5 years ago, he's going to get punished and he's going to get hurt. So I see with the Patriots, them sort of trying to utilize that running game a little bit. You always have that threat of Cam Newton, especially around the goal line, but how much they use him, if they limit that and they get him on those quick precision passes to a Julian Edelman, you got N'Keal Harry, you know, the weapons aren't so dire as they were maybe a couple years ago for the Pats. You look at Cam Newton, and if you can get him there and not put his body at risk in every play, like it was happening in Carolina, it was, then you're going to get something out of him. But, well, if they trot him out and they say, okay, he's running every third play, I don't think he makes it out of the first month.
He is Andy McNamara, all things football and all things fantasy here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You kind of alluded to it earlier on in our chat, Andy. What does it mean for the rest of the AFC East? And, you know, this Patriot defense still good. Obviously, Cam Newton, as we talk about, has got to stay healthy. But we know about the Buffalo Bills and where they're at right now in terms of their climb to be a potential championship winning team. The Jets still a ways away, even though they tried to shore up their offensive line this year. They've given no weapons to Sam Darnold. And you know, you look at the rest of the AFC. I mean, where does New England stack up? What does this do to change the AFC, I guess?
Yeah, it's a case where it makes them, I think, much more competitive. Because people trying to talk you into Jarrett Stidham. Oh, okay. Like, well, all right. You expect this guy to just walk in and they were impressed with him in camp. Okay. My thoughts on it were proven correct because – if Bill Belichick was really all in with Jarrett Stidham, you wouldn't get Cam Newton. You would have said, hey, wait and see, watch this dude come out, and let's go. Not the case. So that leads me to believe Jarrett Stidham, you want to do better. You want to stay competitive. So I think for the AFC East, what it does, to me, I still have the Buffalo Bills as the favorite. I think it makes the division much more competitive and compelling, and maybe we see something where a 10-6 wins the division, rather than your usual, you know, New England 12-4. So I think it brings the division much closer. I want to see Sam Darnold stay away from sharing water bottles, man. You know, no more mono. A full year healthy, what Sam Darnold can do, and if Adam Gase can really salvage himself as a head coach. Because, well, I think it's safe to say, if this doesn't go well for the Jets this year, Adam Gase is going to be looking for a coordinator job in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Or he should. Anything else? Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think Gase should have been fired at the end of 2019. Never mind giving the green light again in 2020, but I understand trying to get some sort of stability inside the organization and giving Joe Douglas something to work with. I get it, but certainly the outlook past 2020 is not positive unless the Jets go on some ridiculous run. Elsewhere, I guess, Andy, anything in the last, you know, 3-4 weeks since we've chatted in the NFL offseason carousel, if you will, has anything else caught you and looked at the news and go, okay, maybe that makes sense or that doesn't make sense? Or is anybody out there that's still looking for a home that you think somebody should be signing?
Well, I think when we look at the rosters overall and what I've been doing on the Fantasy Minute, which you can hear twice a day on Sportsnet 960 out in Calgary and on my Twitter at AndyMC81, I've been going through team-by-team fantasy football previews. I've been going division by division. And on the fantasy show, we actually started it back up again last week, and this was week two. So we're doing a divisional look as well on that show, which goes on Sunday mornings on the station. It's a case where I like the exercise because it allows me to look at each roster and maybe who else is out there, what else can be done. At this point, the tricky part with the pandemic is you're stuck to virtual off seasons. Players are now going on some breaks. They have to report for camp that is supposed to be on schedule. There's not much else you can get. And the tricky part is what we don't know. With usual mini camps, guys get out on the field. You get some reporters in. Hey, so-and-so looks good. So-and-so's beating so-and-so up for a job. We don't know the quality of these off-season virtual programs, who's taking it seriously or not. You can't see body language. You can't see anything. And it's hard to get guys in for medicals if you want, right? That's and travel around. That's the other difficult part. So I don't see any other substantial moves happening until you can actually get players on the field. So I think if we look at Cam Newton, the landing spots that made the most sense to me were the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Jags. Now, the Chargers got Tyrod Taylor, and you have drafted Justin Herbert, who I like, but Tyrod Taylor is god-awful. Sorry. He won't win you a game. You're not going to win a game with Tyrod Taylor. Might not lose it to you, but he cannot come back. So a few games in, Justin Herbert's going to get in and he'll go through his rookie struggles. This is one factor. The Jacksonville Jaguars, well, are fascinating to me because I feel these guys are gunning for Trevor Lawrence. Doesn't this all match up? Wouldn't have made perfect sense. You got Gardner Minshew, who looks like, you know, popped a little bit, but probably his comfort zone is going to be a high-end backup type who can come and win you a couple games. You put Cam Newton there, Leonard Fournette, but they're arguing. You got some intriguing weapons on offense at wide receiver. They're not interested. They're rolling with Gardner Minshew, and you got really in Doug Marrone and that coaching staff, kind of a lame duck type coach. I pictured the Jags probably winning like four games, trying to package something to jump up and get Trevor Lawrence next year. I think that's a full tank, and that's why they didn't get Cam Newton. If you get Cam Newton, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win games.
Shifting gears a little bit, Andy, let's focus in. We are a couple of days away from spring training getting started again on July 1st, and it's only going to be 60 games long, which means it's not going to be your typical draft strategy. It might be a little bit different when you're looking at fantasy baseball. First of all, are you a big fantasy baseball guy? And if so, are you excited for the anticipation of a 60-game season?
Yeah, I love fantasy baseball. I've been playing going back, well, before, like, fantasy baseball was really the first fantasy game. I remember when
it's
I was
the OG.
A kid. It, right, it's the original. Like, when I was a kid going, I'm thinking it's probably like, I want to say 90, 91. They had the Toronto Star had a fantasy game where at the beginning of the year they had in the paper, you had to fill out your lineup and you'd mail it in. And then they'd mail to you. You'd get to make trades or sign players and make roster moves one time during the season and mail it back. And each Sunday they had the overall rankings in the paper. So that's how long I've been doing fantasy baseball. So I love it. And here's for your listeners. This is the thing. You, for fantasy baseball, and this year might be a little different because it's shorter, but overall, if you just pay attention, you will make your fantasy baseball playoffs. I promise you. The thing you get caught in the most, and I have won fantasy baseball championships on this strategy of people like, oh, I went on vacation. I forgot to set my lineup. It's summertime, right? Oh, I forgot. It's a long season. If you just have a pattern for fantasy baseball, have yourself a pattern. What for me, what it is, I got my coffee every morning. I sit down for 10 minutes. I go through the waiver wire, set my lineup, etc. You do that. That is going to give you your best chance to at least make the playoffs. So that's number one. But yeah, I'm pretty pumped. It's going to be a totally different angle to, and I'm working, I got my fantasy baseball draft strategy. I'm going to pop it up on the Fantasy Minute later in the week as well to just some tips to give the listeners on what we should be looking for and really how to face it. Because this is like, well, if you're a slow starter, well, there's no time to be a slow starter. Right? Like if you're a pitcher or a player, whatever, because you're going to be done by the time you catch your breath.
And I'm fascinated by the whole pitching thing because,
yeah,
you know, 60 games, and you know, spring training, you've been off for whatever, 3 months. You're going to have 2 weeks to kind of build up your arm, but you're not playing exhibition games. You know, how long or how deep do your teams use their starting pitchers? That one to me is going to be fascinating and it could win or lose your league for you.
Absolutely could. Absolutely. How long are they going to use the pitchers? In the National League, now this is something the listeners should be keeping an eye on. Remember, universal DH. Downgrade your National League pitchers, upgrade your AL pitchers. Because American League pitchers are used to facing the DH. The National League pitchers, they always get that usual gimme from the other pitcher, right? That's a gimme. That's gone. So that's something that a lot of people aren't taking into consideration with the universal DH. You cannot treat your National League pitching ranking as usual because it's different. So you got to do that. And another factor I would say too, for your league, pick a point of no return. So pick a game. Now, what I'm leaning towards is 45 game mark. So let's say, you know, something happens and the season has to be quit, whatever. Set your deadline for 45 games. And what that means is, if the season ends for whatever reason before 45 games, everybody gets their money back in the fantasy league and you're done. If it goes over 45 or more, then the season counts. So make sure you have that drawn in the sand. That is what it is. Get full agreement. And one other thing I would recommend for your league is add one or two extra IR spots because there's going to be, I'm sure, some pandemic guys who are getting infected, virus, maybe have to go into quarantine. So for your own league, add a couple extra IR spots to give yourself some leeway and be able to make it because you don't want, you know, a star to go down and then you're hosed.
No, for sure. And with the universal DH in both leagues, I guess it is kind of one where you've got to look at maybe some of those deeper National League lineups where they wouldn't be able to get those bats in. Those guys are going to have some sneaky value.
Sure they are. And you know what? I'll give you one right now. One guy I'm going to be targeting is Howie Kendrick of the Washington Nationals because he's a utility guy. You can sprinkle him everywhere. You can sprinkle him infield, outfield. But now You look at the Nationals lineup on the depth chart. He is the designated DH. He is number one in the depth chart. Then the guy hit, I think, was 317, 17 homers last year. Got a bit of speed, versatility. Howie Kendrick is somebody where usually you might, in a normal year, be drafting him as, okay, this is kind of my utility or depth guy. You might want to upgrade your thoughts on a Howie Kendrick type and go through these lineups. Go through your the depth charts. See where teams have players matched up and start tracking that, because that's going to be telling.
Just a couple more with Andy McNamara from Sportsnet 590 in Toronto and Sportsnet.ca. Joins us here on the 9 to talk all things fantasy sports. You mentioned it, having that cutoff kind of at 45 games. Everyone can get their money back if the season were to be stopped or halted for whatever reason. I'm curious, is your approach in 2020, because of the circumstance, you know, the approach, especially in baseball, to daily fantasy, is that any different in 2020, or should it be?
I think for this shortened season, where no matter which fantasy sports, I'm a big sleeper guy. I love finding the value. I love finding the sleepers. For this season, there's no time to mess around. Go for the sure thing. Go for the name value. Now, there's going to be guys who pop up, we know, but in all this uncertainty, this is not the time to get too cute. Limit your sleepers. Try to take the sure and established players at any position and go that route first. Whereas, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna wait on that guy and I'm going to try to say, no. Get the star power. Get the guys you know in your league. Like I said, add the extra IR spot. Give yourself a little flexibility. Set the no return and you should be good. But that's the other advice. Go for the sure thing.
And lastly, Andy, you mentioned the fantasy minute. What about your 2-minute drill this week? You have an interesting focus on your 2-minute drill this week.
Yeah, exactly. So that's up again on Twitter at AndyMC81. That was part one. I'm going to have part two on next Sunday. So the fantasy football strategy. So we're talking about the fantasy baseball side of it in the shortened season. I wanted to share, because it's a question I get a lot of, okay, where do I draft a certain position? Where should they go? When's too early for a quarterback? So I'm going over that. In this week's, the one thing I try to make clear to people is, especially, like, Will, when you look at this year, this has to be the year with the most running back committees. Like, look at Denver. You had Phil Lindsay. That's gone. Melvin Gordon's there. Okay. Yeah, Detroit, Kerryon Johnson, DeAndre Swift comes in. All right, that's another committee. There are just a small, small handful of true RB1. So my advice for people is go running back, not just with your first pick, go with the second pick. Because if you miss on running back, you want to get, oh, I'll take Lamar Jackson. Okay, who's your running back going to be? Going to be garbage, and you're going to be racing, chasing your tail on the waiver wire the whole year. You get running backs. My advice to it depends on the draft, depends who goes, right? Weird things can happen, of course. You go running back. Then you look. Is there a wide receiver who's popped a little bit there? Or do you go tight end? Because tight end is the same situation, and you can get great value in wide receivers. When you look at the overall rankings from last year, and Michael Thomas at number 7 overall for fantasy points, the next wide receiver was Chris Godwin. He didn't pop up till 30. Julio Jones, 35. And then a whole bunch of really great receivers were in that 40s to 50s mark. So what that means is you can get a good-looking receiver, like an Allen Robinson, who's a back-end WR1. He's going to be overlooked a lot, I think, because of the quarterback situation, but he's going to get a ton of targets this year. So that's go running back first. You're going to see guys sitting there, oh, wide receiver. You can wait on that. You can find them. It's easier to find guys off the waiver wire at wide receiver who can pop than at running back and then tight end.
It's interesting you say that. Just because, you know, how hard is that debate, or how hard should the debate be to go with more depth, for example, at running back, or grab the top receiver on the board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the thing is, again, when you look, the top receiver on the board is great, but you have to value that with, okay, if I take this player, if I take this wide receiver, who's my running back going to be?
Right.
Now, the only exception I would make at that argument is if you're picking in, let's for fun, say, 12-team league, and you're kind of in that 8 to 12 spot, and if Michael Thomas is still sitting there, I'm not going to blame you for grabbing him, because that is, I think, the guy, like, still the pinnacle.
Right.
But after that, like I said, you're getting guys ranked in the 30th overall. So you can wait. You can get guys who had last year 40s, 50s, who still put up great numbers for wide receivers. But if you miss on that running back after that first chunk, you're going to be tweeting at me and say, who do I get off the waiver wire? I'm going to say, well, you should have done that. I'll still help you though, folks. I will. I still will help you. I enjoy it. But like that's the problem. If you don't, you will be chasing the waiver wire. I've seen it before so often. You just have to say, even if there's a name, even if there's a Julio Jones, he's floating there. Oh, I want Julio. Take the running back.
Interesting. Good stuff, as always, Andy. Before we go, I got to get a take, if any, if you have one, on the chaos that was the NHL draft lottery on Friday.
Isn't that perfect? Of course, it wasn't an actual team that won, right? Of course, it has to be.
You just knew that was going to happen, right?
I mean, great. Come on. I know. I'm like this. That's too good. From just a chaos standpoint, it gives us a lot to talk about. It adds extra storylines about, all right, that qualifying, that play-in round, how important is it? The thing we also have to remember, though, is the players on the ice do not give a crap about the first overall pick. People are like, oh, they should lose. The coach isn't going to come in and say to lose. The GM can't really make any roster moves. So you can just kind of, if you're the front office, you can just kind of hope on it. But the players aren't going to be like, wow, hope we get the first pick. Maybe that guy will take my job. No. It doesn't work that way. So you can't have at this point in the year intentional tanking. The rosters are pretty much set.
Poor Detroit Red Wing fans, eh? You go from the ultimate high of 25 straight playoff years to here's your 257 winning percentage, and you can't even get the first pick.
And you get, what was it, fourth now, and the Senators have the two picks. It goes to
you don't drop to number two, you don't drop to number three, you drop to number four. Sorry, guys.
Just a kick in the pants. You know what, though? Too bad, Detroit. You guys had, what, 20-plus years of making the playoffs in a row. Time. You enjoy. Look back at your Stanley Cups. You get no pity for me.
Go look back at your Stanley Cup championships that you all bought before the salary cap came.
That's right.
It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah.
Andy, good stuff, man. As always, love talking with you. And enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great Canada Day, and we'll talk to you very soon, man.
All right. Always enjoy it. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Andy McNamara from Sportsnet.